Thank you for staying with me on Niaga Awani. We'll continue with the local market. The benchmark KLCI stayed positive, rising 0.70% to end Tuesday at 1,512.05. The mark was closed on Wednesday for Merdeka holiday. As at 9:27 a.m. today, FBM KLCI stood at 1,494.38, down by negative 1.17%. This is still under psychology level of 1,500 points. Two of Malaysia's largest mobile carriers do not plan to take stakes in state-owned 5G agency DNB. Three people familiar with the matter told Reuters, a setback that threatens to throw the country's 5G rollout into further disarray. The decision by Maxis Berhad and U-Mobile Sdn Bhd has also disrupted the government's plan to sign agreements with other carriers, said two of the people who requested anonymity as they were not authorised to talk about the private negotiations based on each market. And then moving on, US digital infrastructure firms Digital Bridge Group Inc. and Equinix Inc. have been shortlisted in the final round of talks for the data center business of Time.com Berhad, according to people familiar with the matter. Next up is UMW Group is disposing of 140 acres of land at the UMW High Value Manufacturing Park in Serendah to Kuching Sdn Bhd for 304.9 million ringgit. Shanghai Stock Exchange listed Longa is the world's largest manufacturer of monocrystalline silicon wafers based on each market. And then next one is the government will guarantee TNB's financing of up to 6 billion ringgit for the utility group to pay the increment in generation cost. Next up is Petronas said on Tuesday that its subsidiary Petronas Dagangan Berhad's recent statement on resolving the lingering effects of outstanding subsidy receivables from the government is not an empty promise. Tengku Muhammad, who was speaking at a press conference in conjunction with the announcement of Petronas' first half results, was tight-lipped as to when the government was expected to pay the subsidy. Next up is Icon Offshore Berhad is set to offload a jack-up rig to Saudi Arabia based ADES Arabia holding for 381.7 million ringgit, which is more than double the price paid by the company to buy it 22 months ago. And the next one is IGM Land Berhad saw more than 85% of phase 1 units of the Icon at Centrio development located in Seremban 2 Township in Negeri Sembilan taken up during its launch over the weekend, according to a press statement. Moving on, world stock markets struggled to recover on Wednesday after a three-day losing streak as stubborn inflation that has central banks on both sides of the Atlantic preparing to raise borrowing costs again next month kept investors on edge. Wall Street slipped after eking out early gains, while U.S. crude oil prices sank for a second day, with worries that tightening monetary policy around the world will hurt demand and drag on the global economy. Underscoring the growth risk on the horizon, analysts at Capital Economics warned of possible U.S. recession. The MSCI All Country Stock Index slipped 0.2% and was down 18.5% for the year as war in Ukraine, surging energy prices and rising interest rates take their toll on risky assets. The US S&P 500 index lost 0.17%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.3%, and the Nasdaq Composite was flat. Oil prices extended their slide on Wednesday, led lower by worries that the global economy would slow further with renewed restrictions to curb COVID-19 in China. Brent crude futures for October due to expire on Wednesday settled at $96.49, down $2.82 a barrel or 2.8%. The more active November contract lost $2.20 to $95.64 a barrel. US West Texas Intermediate WTI crude futures ended down $2.09 or 2.3% at $89.55 a barrel. The market has been primarily concerned with inadequate supply in the months following Russia's invasion of Ukraine as OPEC struggled to put increased output. That drove near-term contracts to a sharp premium over later-dated futures earlier this year, but that pattern has reversed somewhat as output has increased. Environment officials from the group of 20 leading rich and developing nations met Wednesday on Indonesia's resort island of Bali for talks on climate action and the global impact of the war in Ukraine, with Indonesia's environment minister saying the world is already facing climate crisis. They discussed the implementation of each G20 nation's contribution to fighting climate change and synchronizing targets among developing and developed countries, Indonesian Environment Minister Siti Nurbaya said after the meeting. She said it produced a joint agreement with three priority issues: a sustainable economic recovery, land-based and ocean-based climate action, and resource mobilization to accelerate environmental protection to help realize the Paris Agreement on climate change. Indonesia, the holder of this year's G20 residency, is committed to reducing its greenhouse gas emissions by 41% with international assistance by 2030 or by 29% independently. Finance ministers and central bank governors from the G20 countries pledged last month to tackle climate change and protect the environment, including the prevention of biodiversity loss. They pledged to achieve the Paris Agreement through a range of fiscal, market and regulatory mechanisms. Environment Watchdog Indonesian Forum for the Environment has predicted that climate-related hydrometeorological disasters in Indonesia will increase 7% this year.
Perjalanan diskusinya cukup berat, mengingat berbagai pandangan dan implikasi kepada kepentingan masing-masing negara anggota. Selama pertemuan di Jogja dan di Jakarta yang lalu, juga pada tingkat dirjen, sebetulnya delegasi telah mendiskusikan berbagai isu prioritas untuk mencapai visi dan tujuan. Kita pada posisi krisis iklim sebetulnya, bukan lagi hanya perubahan iklim, tetapi kalau lihat rekomendasi IPCC, jadi panel ahli di untuk UNFCCC, panel ahli iklim itu menegaskan bahwa kita harus bekerja lebih cepat lagi untuk menurunkan serendah mungkin, paling banyak 1,5, gitu Pak Wamen ya. Pada tadi secara khusus ada session tentang finansial, dukungan bagaimana sustainable financing itu bisa mengaddress berbagai krisis iklim. Namun demikian diperlukan berbagai hal, misalnya reform untuk struktur pendanaan internasional. Demikian juga mekanisme di dalam penyaluran ataupun mekanisme tentang pengaturan pendanaan internasional.
Wassalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Shalom, Om.
The head of the UN's nuclear watchdog said on Wednesday he hoped to comprehensively evaluate the situation at Europe's largest nuclear power plant, but admitted that the mission to inspect the Russian-occupied facility in Ukraine would not be risk-free. Speaking in Zaporizhia International Atomic Energy Agency, Director General Rafael Grossi explained that from Thursday, UN inspectors would conduct physical inspections of the power plant and talk with staff that work there.
Bonjour. Comment s'est passé votre trajet jusqu'ici?
Les voyages, la route en général, c'était bien. Donc on se prépare pour le vrai travail qui commence demain.
Vous partez demain à la centrale, qu'est-ce que vous allez y faire?
On va faire beaucoup de choses. Et nous avons un travail surtout technique à faire pour faire une évaluation compréhensive de la situation sur la qualité physique des lieux, les fonctionnements, le système de sécurité, de sûreté. Et on doit parler avec le personnel. Vous savez, c'est une situation assez complexe de ce point de vue-là. Et nous allons donc essayer d'établir une présence permanente de l'agence à partir de ce moment-là. Et ça, c'est des choses que je dois encore un peu travailler avec les gens sur place.
Are you going through Russian or Ukrainian territory to get to the plant?
Well, as you know, this is part of Ukraine, currently occupied by Russian forces. It is clear for us that this is an Ukrainian facility, and if we are here, our authority legal competence to be here is clearly established by the safeguards agreement that we have with Ukraine.
How long do you expect to stay at the plant?
Well, the mission will take a few days. And if we are able to establish a permanent presence or a continued presence, better said, then it's going to be prolonged. But this first segment, so to speak, is going to take a few days.
European Union member Hungary, which has been close to Russia and insisted on a temporary exemption from the bloc's embargo on Russian oil, is getting more gas from Moscow. Hungarian Foreign Minister Peter Szijjártó said on Wednesday that his country will be getting additional quantities of gas to Hungary above the contracts already signed from Russia's Gazprom. Russia's Gazprom halted the flow of natural gas through a major pipeline from Russia to Europe early on Wednesday, a stoppage that it announced in advance and has said will last 3 days. The Russian state-owned energy company announced the closure of Nord Stream 1 in mid-August, citing maintenance at a compressor station, an explanation that German officials have cast doubt on. Russia has also reduced the flow of gas to other European countries, which have sided with Ukraine in the war.
Szeptember 1-től is fog a már megkötött szerződéseken felüli plusz földgázmennyiséget szállítani Magyarországra a Gazprom, mégpedig napi szinten 5,8 millió köbméterre emelik a plusz szállítás maximális mértékét. Ez a megemelt mennyiségű földgázszállítás is hozzájárul Magyarország energiaellátásának biztonságához, hozzájárul ahhoz, hogy Magyarországon ne kelljen korlátozásokat bevezetni a földgáz hiány miatt, hiszen a hosszú távú szerződésünk és ez az új megállapodás is biztosítja, hogy lesz elegendő földgáz Magyarországon.
And that is all for Niagawani for today. Be sure to tune in to us every weekday, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. With me, Nabila Khalida, and my other colleagues. Goodbye.